All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
My name is Dr. Priyanka Wally. I'm a medical doctor and a comedian.
And I am Sean Hayes. I am an actor and a hypochondriac.
Every week, we will bring on a guest, talk about incredible medical stories, and hopefully ease Sean's medical fears.
Thank you. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. We are supported by Disco. Disco is a clean skincare brand based in Austin, Texas. All Disco products are created specifically for male skin, like me, I'm a male, issues like under eye bags, dark circles, acne, razor burn, oily skin, dry skin, wrinkles, whatever we have, guys, Disco takes care of it. I know a lot of guys are apprehensive about skincare. I was too, like many years ago. But, you know, let me tell you something. The second you find the right product that works for you, you stick with it. And for me, that's totally Disco. Right? Disco's great. It leaves my skin feeling clean. It really does work on wrinkles. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your skin, guys. I think it's time. Believe me, if you have a girlfriend, they'll love you for it. If you have a boyfriend, they already love you for it. Disco products are easy to use, effective, and affordable. They take the guesswork out of taking care of your skin. The starter set is an incredibly simple and convenient way to upgrade the appearance of your skin in 3 simple steps for just 60 seconds a day. If you want to check out Disco and try their incredible skincare products for yourself, we have a special offer for the hypochondriactor audience. Go to www.letsdisco.com/hypo or enter hypo at checkout for 30% off your first order. That's letsdisco.com/hypo for 30% off your first order. Thanks, Disco. Good morning, Priyanka.
Good morning, Sean. So I have a question for you.
Ask me away.
Are you really sensitive to mosquito bites? Because I am.
Yes. Oh, where did that come from? Yes, I am. I
woke up this morning and I had a bite on my arm. And
you want me to take a look at it?
It's not. Well, I actually, this isn't an ad, but I break out like really big bumps. Yeah. And do you have the bug? It's called the bug bite thing.
No.
Do you know about this?
Oh, wait a minute. The name of the thing is called bug bite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. What is it?
Do you know? Have you ever tried it?
No, uh-uh.
I just got it, and it actually is making a big difference.
So, really? So, and this, like, is not an ad, by the way.
No, this isn't an ad, but I literally have it at my desk because I'm, like, tending to this bite. But it actually, it's like this little suction, and it sucks out the serum or the mosquito saliva that gets lodged in your skin that causes the reaction. Mm-hmm. And it's actually helped a lot.
I know a few people in my industry that probably use that, but it sucks out the life of them.
So anyways, I don't know why I thought of you, because I, like, you're super sensitive. And oh, we haven't done the highly sensitive person quiz with you, have we?
No, what's that? I am,
oh,
by the way,
gosh.
I'm sensitive to so many things, emotionally, physically. I'm just very, very sensitive person.
Okay, I want to, okay, so there are certain characteristics. This is coined by Dr. Elaine Aaron. Mm-hmm. She's one of the leaders in a lot of the HSP research. Okay, so there are certain characteristics. Just say yes or no, or true, false.
Okay.
I seem to be aware of subtleties in my environment.
Yeah, I would say that.
Okay. Other people's moods affect me.
Yeah, of course.
I tend to be very sensitive to pain. We know that's true for you.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so basically your score is a 19, and according to the highly sensitive quiz based off of Dr. Elaine Aaron, if you answered more than 14 of these questions is true of yourself, you're probably highly sensitive, which is what I suspected. So 20% of the population is highly sensitive, and some may be, like, more sensitive than others, but you're, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Did I win something or?
No, so there's a book called The Highly Sensitive Person by Dr. Elaine Aaron, and it's wonderful. I think reading it could give you a lot of insight into you and your experience.
We could have just cut to the chase and said, Sean, are you sensitive to everything?
I know, but see, we approached it scientifically.
I love it. By the way, should I get the shingles vaccine?
Have you had shingles before?
No.
Have you had chicken pox?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
And you're how old? You're like 51.
One, yeah. But I play 20 to 25.
I know, right, right. So you could definitely qualify for it. You know, there's data to show that people that got the shingles vaccine that ended up either the likelihood of them getting shingles goes way down, or if they do get shingles, the duration and the severity is significantly less.
Yeah, so I need to get it.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah.
All right, great. Well, that was easy.
Well, we have a guest.
We have a guest.
Miranda Cosgrove.
Yes, Miranda Cosgrove.
I am a huge fan of.
Yeah, she's so great.
I remember watching her in School of Rock.
Yes.
And she totally was so awesome in that. So it's really great to meet her.
Yeah, and I produced a TV show called Crowded, starring, she was one of the stars, Patrick Warburton, a bunch of great people in it. And she was so great, so talented. Anyway, I can't wait to talk to her. But first, we're going to go to one of the recorded messages. So the first recorded message we're going to listen to is from a woman named Ruth.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Ruth. My issue is I am an insomniac, horribly.
Me too.
Stricken with insomnia. And on top, I am allergic to dairy products, so I can't drink a warm cup of milk and lay down.
Yeah.
I need some help. I'm old, and this is making me older.
Oh.
I love your podcast, and thank you. Bye.
So sweet. Ruth, right to the punch. I love it. Oh, she's like, this is an issue. You know, I have insomnia too. And what I started doing, I just recently started taking, you know, pot gummies, like gummies with THC and CBD in them. Mm-hmm. They knock me out. I love it.
So have I talked to you about blue light blocking glasses, Sean? Do you know about
this? Yes, I need to. You know what? I'm going to write that down because I need to get that.
So I used to have insomnia. And basically, again, this is my experience, not giving personal medical advice. Again, there's lots of different causes of insomnia. And Ruth, you should definitely speak to your physician about your personal issues related to insomnia.
Because sleep is everything.
Yeah, and we spend a third of our lives sleeping. But yeah, it was really interesting. I started wearing blue light blocking glasses, and it definitely changed my ability to fall asleep because I guess I must be very sensitive to blue light.
Yeah.
And have I explained to you how that worked?
No, you mean the blue light from the computer?
Blue light from your computer or your screens, like TVs, all the
right.
new televisions, they're all LED screens, right?
Right.
So the LEDs
triggers something, right, in the brain?
Yes, exactly. So when the light enters your eyes, it actually affects this part of your brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which affects melatonin production. So by putting the blue light directly into your eyes, your melatonin levels go down. So sometimes it's actually not possible to feel sleepy when you're in front of these devices. And so there's all these settings on your phone, like it's called night shift setting, where you can actually turn off the LED on your phone. So there's less blue light being emitted from your phone.
By the way, yeah, I have heard that. And I do that because I bring my laptop to bed. It's such a habit. I read news articles or play little like crossword puzzle games or whatever I do.
Yeah.
But what do you do if that's not the issue?
Yeah, so there's lots of different things that can cause insomnia. One thing I can say across the across everything, like the bedroom or like your bed should literally only be for sleep and sex. That should be the only thing you're doing in bed. No computer stuff, no having difficult conversations, no stressing out about things that are bothering you. Like literally you need to train your brain so that when you go to bed, it's just sleep or sex.
But what if you turned your bed into a bouncy house? Is that okay?
That is definitely going to be part of the problem, Sean. That's definitely part of the problem.
Okay, so you're saying don't turn it into a bouncy house.
Do not. No, bouncy house, is that so sleep or sex?
No,
right?
Well, depends.
Yeah.
I don't know what the last time
you're depending on what you're into.
Yeah. So poor Ruth, insomnia, that's so horrible. I know how she feels because sleep is everything. Sleep kind of like gives you the energy and the focus the next day.
Sleep is so crucial for your health. Yeah. It's important to figure out what the underlying cause is. There's lots of different causes, like sleep apnea is a huge cause of insomnia. I recommend, like, if one can't sleep at night, it's very important to do low stimulation activities like knitting or puzzles or, you know, reading a book not on the bed. Don't read the book on the bed. Get up out of the bed and read. Don't do things like playing video games or watching like murder mysteries
on
Netflix.
I do all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
Hypochondriactor is brought to you by Ritual. So Ritual is great. I've been taking the multivitamin and, you know, not everyone needs to take multivitamins, but if you do, you want to make sure you find one that's right sort of for your body type and your nutritional needs. So Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women who are age 18 or older. It's formulated with nutrients to support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. But Ritual didn't stop there. They invested in a gold standard university-led clinical trial to prove the impact of the Essential for 18s Women Plus multivitamin. And the results, they showed that the Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in 12 weeks. And this study was published in the journal Frontiers in Nutrition. So Ritual is committed to third-party testing from USP and the Non-GMO Project, traceable and vegan-friendly ingredients, and no shady stuff. They always have clear communication. Right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/hypo and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/hypo.
We are supported by Bev. Bev is a female-first canned wine brand that was founded to change not only the way a product is consumed, but the way an industry and culture have operated for generations, right? So I love Bev because it's a perfect gift for female friends of mine, and I've given them out to female friends, and they love it. They absolutely love it. They love how it's a company that is female-founded, and it's a female-run business. I love that, too. I think we need more of them in the world, because in an industry that is almost exclusively masculine, Bev is breaking norms and creating something from the female perspective that is approachable, fun, and consumer-centric. They have 6 varieties: rosé, sauv blanc, pinot gris, pinot noir, glitz, and glam. Their wine, I love that last one, glitz and glam, right? Their wines are dry, crisp, and a little fizzy, super refreshing, and absolutely delicious. I must say, I've sneaked a little taste myself, and it's pretty great. They have 0 sugar and only 3 carbs and 100 calories per serving. Bev ships straight to your door, and shipping is always free. Check this out. We've worked out a special deal for our listeners. Receive 20% off your first purchase, plus free shipping on all orders. I suggest trying their best-selling Ladies' Night variety pack, so you can check out all their delicious varieties. Go to drinkbev.com/hypo or use code hypo at checkout to claim this deal. That's drinkbev.com/hypo. Bev can also be found at retailers nationwide, including Target, Total Wine, BevMo, and more. All right, so we have another recorded message from somebody named Mo. Let's take a look at that.
Hi, Sean, and hi, Dr. Wally. My name's Mo from Toronto in Canada. Nice. And a bit of a crazy story. You know, in my mid-50s, which was like 3 years ago, fell down some stairs, thought the biggest problem was that I broke my wrist. But lo and behold, I had a mystery problem in my right hip, which was a labral tear. And I diagnosed myself, went to a doctor, and they said, we'll do an x-ray, which wouldn't show anything, basically. And they said, oh, no, you've got mild arthritis. No, that wasn't the issue. I thought I was losing my mind. Total lack of movement in my leg, not pain all the time. So people thought, oh, you know, you really seem fine to me. Finally went to, a year and a half later, another doctor who within, you know, 3 minutes diagnosed me with a labral tear, and I'm now getting PRP injections. A whole new phase in my life. I'm hoping the PRP is going to be the fountain of youth for my hip. But just goes to, I guess, show everybody out there that you got to just keep pushing when something doesn't seem right. You got to keep going. Anyway, I love you guys so much. You're so damn funny. Yeah, which is another problem because I need pee pads when I'm walking my dog because I'm laughing so hard listening to you guys. Anyway, love you. Bye.
Oh, wow.
She should put the pee pads as a cushion on the side of her hip.
Oh.
Right?
We're not. No. Advising that. So, wow, that, okay, there's so many things about this story that I love. Number one, she continued to listen to her body.
Yeah,
and
I love that.
Persist to until she got the answers that she wanted. And I think that is so important when dealing with an issue. You know, if you see one doctor and you're still not quite convinced about the answer, like, get a second opinion, get a third opinion.
Yeah, I love that Mo just like took it under, took in control. We had a couple of those people on, right? Where it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to take charge because nobody knows your body like you do. You always say that too. Mm-hmm. You're
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know your body. You know your body. So whatever's happening to you is real to you.
Yeah.
And we have to work together to find that out.
Exactly. Yeah. And these hips don't lie. I mean, there was a liberal tear, slap tear. This is a slapstick comedy. That's a medical joke for you there. Mm-hmm. Okay. But yeah, you know, best of luck with the PRP. It'll be really interesting to see if that is an option, if that will work, right? I mean,
and Mo, you know, I did the PRP on my right knee and it totally worked.
So we will see, to be continued. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, there's nothing we can do for a hypochondriac-induced incontinence, right? I mean, that's one for the ICD-10 diagnosis, right?
Absolutely.
That's a billable code right there.
Hey guys, if you have a story you want to share, call us at 323-529-6031 and we might choose your message to play in an episode. That's 323-529-6031. Let's get to our guest. Our guest today has been in the entertainment industry since she was 3 years old. What? You know her from acting roles, her music, and you can turn on your TV right after listening to this podcast and watch her in the revival of iCarly on Paramount Plus. Please welcome my sweet friend, Miranda Cosgrove. Miranda.
Hey, how are you guys?
I'm so good, excited. Honey. How are you?
I'm good.
It's welcome. Been so long since I've seen you.
I know. It's so good to see you.
You too.
It's
nice you look fantastic. You. And this is Priyanka. Yeah.
Nice to meet you too.
Oh, thanks.
Oh my gosh. It's so exciting to see you. By the way, right in front of your refrigerator. I love it. I wish I could be behind my
I know. It's a perfect backdrop.
Perfect.
So a lot of people don't know that you and I worked together on a show called Crowded. You were so great. And you elevated yourself as a kid into adulthood to still be fantastic, great, super talented, even funnier than you were before as a kid. You were so good on the show. Wasn't it fun?
Oh, thanks so much. It was so funny because on that show, you know, how it was all about being older and moving back in with your parents after college. And I totally lived with my parents the entire time we were making that show. So.
I know that. I remember that. Isn't that cool? I love that. And then, so Will and Grace, you know, had this run of 8 years. We waited 11 years and came back in this reboot. And now you, as iCarly, are now back in the revival. That's so crazy. What does that feel like? For me, it was like, oh my God, it felt like who gets the chance to kind of like relive their childhood all over again, you know, and you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. Were you really surprised when you saw the sets for the first time?
Yes,
like the first day when
freaky?
I saw the sets, I was just like, this is the Twilight Zone. It was so strange to come back and see it all set up again after so much time had passed.
And were there some of the same crew at all or some of the, you know?
Yeah, we have a lot of the same crew members from the original. And then it's kind of like half and half to be around all the people that, because when I started the show, I was 13. So it's just funny because sometimes I'll look around and like this guy, Nathan Crest, who plays my friend on the show, he always wanted to direct and now he's directing a bunch of the episodes. So it's weird to look over and see him like as the director and be following his directions because I kind of think of him as a little kid in my head.
You're like, I'm not listening to you. Right.
It's kind of crazy. Some of the dynamics are all pretty much the same, but we're just older. So it's been really fun.
That's so great. I love that it came back. Tell us about your charity, Education Through Music. I know nothing about it, so I'm excited to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. So I love music, and I started playing guitar when I was little because I did the movie School of Rock. And
I know. So
loved
great.
You on that.
Yeah. I was the only kid who didn't have any musical talent in the movie. Like, I was cast to be the band manager, but...
Right, you were band manager. Exactly. I love
yeah.
that.
And I got to sing really badly, but all the other kids in the movie were really, really talented. Like, they weren't trying to act. They just came into open calls because they could really play instruments really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after that, I really wanted to try to learn how to play an instrument. It inspired me. So I started taking guitar lessons after that, and it was really fun. And I still play guitar. I'm not very good at it, but it was just always a really fun thing for me, and I like writing songs and stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, it was just such a fun thing.
Do you still keep in touch with some of the other musicians from the movie?
I do, yeah. Rebecca Brown, who she played the bass in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
She just moved to LA not long ago, so I see her sometimes. And most of the kids were from all over the country, so mm-hmm. not a lot of them live in LA. But we did a 10-year reunion a few years back, and I got to see everybody. It was really fun.
That's oh, so wow. cool. Wait, so education through music.
Yeah, so it's just really cool because it's kind of getting kids making sure that kids are exposed to getting to play instruments. And
oh, great.
I feel
great.
Like, because that was such a cool thing for me when I was young, I really wanted kids to be able to get into it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. So when I was a kid, across the street, this woman moved in and she was a piano teacher. And so my mom was like, hey, do you want to take piano lessons? I was like 5 years old. And I was like, not doing anything else after school. Sure. So I walk over there and I think music is a language, right? So, it taught me goals. As a kid, because your teacher assigns you, you know what, just learn this one page for next week. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I can do it. Instead of the whole piece, just learn this one page. And I was like, I can wrap my head around that. And so I would go home and learn that one page. And she'd go, great. Now let's do two pages next week. And you go, oh, so it's on top of it being a language, it sets goals. It gives you, it empowers you as a kid to create and learn and exercise that part of your brain and gives you something to call your own. Mm-hmm. That a lot of other kids don't have, right? When you have that as a kid, it empowers you to believe that other things are possible, right?
Absolutely.
So I love that you're doing that.
It sounds like you also had a really kind and compassionate teacher, a very understanding teacher, which is so important for your child development.
Yeah, and then when she made me do too much, I kicked her in the shins. No, I didn't.
Okay, well, that's another episode, yeah.
All right, so one more thing I want to ask you before we get into the nitty-gritty, which I talk about your ankle surgery. I can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to break that down.
I'm super excited.
But I want to ask about one more thing. The Light the Night Walk, what is that? It creates awareness for blood cancer?
Oh, yeah. I was a part of that a while back when I was maybe 17 or 18, and it was one of the first charities I got involved with. It was really fun. It's cool because, you know, getting to act ever since I was pretty young, I've had a lot of opportunities to get involved with different charities and stuff. I would say, like, St. Jude Children's Hospital is one of the ones that has really stood out the most for me because I got to go to Memphis to the Children's Hospital and actually meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's had a big impact on my life, just getting to meet kids, and it's been really awesome.
I love that. That's great. So great.
Yeah. We are supported by Rothy's. The number one word Rothy's customers use to describe their shoes is comfortable.
Right? What makes Rothy's so insanely comfortable the moment you put them on? Their unique, seamless design.
I also really like the fact that the shoes are made from recycled materials like plastic water bottles. And they're fully machine washable too, which is hard to find in a shoe.
I love that too. And the good news for any guys listening, Rothy's shoes just aren't for women anymore. That's right. Rothy's now sells men's sneakers and men's driving loafers. I don't use the driving loafers, but I have tried the sneakers and they're really comfortable. And by the way, they're kind of really cool looking. I really like them.
Durable, washable, and better for the planet. Plus, rigorously tested for a perfect fit wash after wash. Rothy's fan favorite styles, they're available in tons of shapes and colors for literally every occasion. And like I said earlier, they're made with recycled materials and fully machine washable.
Yeah. Nothing says fall, by the way, like soft plush merino wool. For the third year in a row, Rothy's is launching an exclusive autumn collection featuring washable merino wool styles.
Yeah, and they're incredibly cozy and 100% machine washable. Plus, they come in a variety of colors, patterns, and styles.
Yeah, Rothy's men's line features also the same level of craftsmanship as the Rothy's women's line. So to help you welcome fall season in style, Rothy's is doing something special. That's right. They gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. Right now, you can get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/hypo. That's rothys.com/hypo. Head to rothys.com/hypo to find your new favorites today. This episode is sponsored by Monk Pack. Monk Pack makes snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with only 1 gram of sugar or less. Healthy snacks have a bad reputation. And let's be honest, most don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. I'm obsessed with these bars and probably eat more than I should. I almost eat one every single day. Monk Pack Keto Granola Bars contains just 1 gram of sugar, 2 to 3 grams of net carbs, and they're only 140 calories. They're gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, and non-GMO. They are so delicious. I love them. They are the perfect snack for anyone who's trying to eat better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste. Monk Pack Keto Granola Bars have a soft and chewy texture and come in delicious flavors like coconut, cocoa chip, peanut butter, and blueberry almond vanilla. My favorite is caramel sea salt. It's the first one I grab. I eat all of them, but that's usually the first one I go for because it tastes so good. Try for yourself and you'll see. And we have a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering our code HYPO at checkout. And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. To get started, just go to munkpack.com and select any product, then enter the code HYPO at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack, delicious, nutritious food you can count on. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty. Oh, I heard about this and I was fascinated. Okay, Priyanka, go.
Yeah, no, so apparently, can you share with us and the listeners like this exact situation that you ended up in? And let's get to the bottom of this. We'll figure this out.
Yeah.
Yes, so pretty much everyone that knows me knows I always take things to the extreme when I'm sick. Like, it's definitely a real issue.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Same.
And I foster a lot of animals, and I usually do it with animals. Like, I don't do it so much with my as much with myself as I'm always at the vet.
You sound like an asshole. All these helping kids and animals. Who are you?
But the vet will literally say to me, like, please don't come. Like, there probably isn't a problem. Like, it's gotten to the point.
Okay. Yeah, like, that's really interesting.
It's gotten to the point where when I take one of my animals there and I'm right, I'm like, yes, like, at
You're
least
so
they're not going to think I'm insane. Yeah.
Okay.
But so my ankle thing is that was the first time I really, I was really calm about it because I had to get an ankle surgery because I was on tour and my tour bus got in an accident. There was this like, semi truck that already had been in an accident a few minutes before we came around a corner. And then the tour bus I was on, I was sleeping at night, ran into this overturned semi truck and all this crazy stuff happened.
Whoa.
And
that sounds really scary.
Well, I was asleep. So when I woke up, my mom was with me on tour at the time because it was years ago. And when I woke up, there was like a bookshelf or something on top of me because things kind of flew.
Wow.
But I didn't know what was going on. So I just pushed it off and I heard like, ugh. And it was, I had thrown it onto my mom. Not knowing, like, because I was completely disoriented.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so my mom was knocked out for the entire thing and didn't remember any of it happening. And I'm 99% sure it's because I threw a bookcase at her head.
Oh, wow.
But,
okay.
So she has no
this
recollection.
It's a really intense story.
Yeah.
But so I ended up at the hospital and I was wearing UGG boots in bed.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know why, but for some reason.
The long ones or the short ones?
Because that's important.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's very important.
The ankle high ones. Yeah.
But I guess because I was sleeping in the bed in the back of the tour bus, I flew out of the bed and my foot hit the wall. So
oh my goodness.
I'm not laughing at the pain. I'm laughing at the insane story. Okay, keep
just
going.
It's insane, yeah.
But the UGGs actually helped me a lot because they were, it sounds like I'm doing an UGG commercial. They were really thick, like the sole of it's really thick.
They are really thick, yeah.
And I think, well, the doctor thought that it helped. So they had to cut my UGG boot off and my ankle was all swollen and I wasn't really freaking out that much. I don't know if it's just, you know, what people do when something traumatic happens, you're kind of calm for once.
Did you throw your UGG boots at the doctor like you threw the books at your mom?
She's like,
yeah, knocked him out.
Yeah.
So then when I flew home from LA from where that happened and they told me I was going to have a surgery and I had to have a plate and a bunch of screws and stuff put in my ankle.
My God.
So
how old were you?
I think I was like 19 or 20.
That's amazing.
But it was crazy because I wasn't that freaked out. I was sort of just relieved because when they told me they could fix it and, you know, it was going to be okay eventually. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't that upset. But then after the surgery, so this is the thing, when I woke up, I had a hole like kind of right underneath my knee on my leg.
By underneath, do you mean like if this is the knee, are you talking about the back of the knee?
It's kind of mid. It's like in between my ankle and my knee.
On right the front the side?
Yeah, on the front.
Okay. All right. Wow, and how would you describe this hole? What do you mean? Like you could see the bone or?
It looks like.
It's a way to another dimension, I think. Right?
Gateway, that's gateway. The answers I've been looking for. Yeah. I want to know what this hole is, but it's kind of about the size of like the top of an Expo marker. It's like this big. It's not. Oh, wow. It's so not it's, big.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, it was so strange because when I woke up, I had a cast on, like a soft cast. And then later I went back and they removed it. Okay. And then that's when I noticed the hole. And I was asking questions like, what's this? What's that? And then I was like, wait, why is there a hole in my leg? So they were like, oh, we didn't do that. And I was like,
well, I didn't do it. You're like, I didn't do it. What's going on? That's crazy.
So, okay. Yeah.
And then, so that was it. You just never got the answers that.
No.
What happened then? Did the hole close or?
It healed. You can still see it a little bit where it's at.
How long was it an open hole? How long?
It had a scab and it was kind of like, but you could tell it was completely, somebody like punctured through completely and cut a hole.
Do you think it went like to the bone or it was more superficial? I wish I could see where on the leg it was. I wish.
It seemed pretty deep and it's just so funny. Like sometimes, you know, I'll just tell people randomly if I'm like wearing shorts or something, I'll be like, see this random hole on my leg. Yes. I don't know how it got here.
So, you know, first of all, I'm like, sorry that you experienced this because I can only imagine that if I had a major surgery after undergoing like an accident like this, and then I'm removing the cast and now there's holes in my body that I didn't know about. I mean, I would be pretty distressed about it.
What if there was like a slew of books in there? Not all of them fell off the shelf. They just went inside that hole. Wait, so was the ankle surgery successful?
I like that theory. Yeah, it was. I have no pain in my ankle. It went great.
Okay.
I never even think about it.
Wow.
So there's a couple of theories. The first thing is sometimes if the ankle bone is broken in ankle surgery, they sometimes put rods higher up the leg so that the surgeon in the OR can actually set the bone correctly. But the thing is, like, your surgeon would know that they did that. That's not something that they would, like, not know about. And the way to, like, confirm is actually every operation that happens in a hospital, there's actually a surgical operative report. And, any person has entitled to look at their healthcare records. You can actually read the operative report to see, like, where did they cut? What did they use? What kind of sutures? Like, how much blood was lost? Like, the whole thing. And so I would be curious to read your operative report to see like what happened further up. How many inches above the ankle would you say that the hole was?
I'd say maybe 5 inches.
So it's like midway between the knee and the ankle.
Yeah.
It sounds like I just pictured these surgeons while you're under standing next to each other, like a room full of like 8 people surrounding your body while they're working on your ankle while you're under, you know, anesthesia going, hey, did you? No, I didn't. I didn't like that.
Nobody wants to take the blame.
Just sew it up. Just sew it up and just cross your
fingers. That is every hospital administration's like worst nightmare. I mean, that's like a reportable adverse event. Like, yeah, I can't even imagine. The other possibility is because how high up did your cast go?
I think it was right underneath my knee.
So it's possible, you know, sometimes they make splints after the ankle surgery. Not sometimes they do. And it's possible that there was something with the splint that then kind of pierced the skin. I don't know how uncomfortable that splint was. It's possible it was splint related, especially because you discovered it after they took out the cast, right?
Aside from the pain that you probably experienced coming out of the surgery, was there pain in that area? Or were you just like, oh, there's just a hole?
No, that's the weird thing. Any pain I had was just down in my ankle, but it was, so it didn't hurt. It didn't really cause me any pain. It was just more of a mystery. And then I went to do physical therapy, and I kept asking everybody, what is this? Does anyone know what it is? Because I genuinely thought it was supposed to be there at first. I thought, oh, this is just something that
everyone has this
when they get an ankle surgery. But as I asked people, I started realizing that's just, it just wasn't the case. And then the surgeon was like, I wasn't in there when that happened. If we had something to do with it, I wasn't in there. It must have been after I left the room. So then I asked a nurse, I think, and she was like, I don't know why you'd have that. But the one answer that I did get, and you can tell me if this makes any sense, was the physical therapist told me sometimes they have to drain blood from, like, a bunch of blood will rush to your foot during the surgery, and that they have to put a hole to fix that.
Create some kind of drain. I mean, I've never, I'm not familiar with that, but I wouldn't rule it out or
rule
anything.
It out. Nothing should be ruled out yet.
So were you able to, like, stick your finger in the hole?
No, it started to heal, and it was sort of, it took kind of a long time to heal because it was pretty deep.
This is insane.
Was it like a dent, or was it actual puncturing the skin?
I think it was an actual puncture.
Wow.
So nobody ever gave you an answer? None of the surgeons, nobody gave you an answer?
Honestly, that's not okay. Like, you deserved an answer. I mean, I think the healthcare system owes that to you. Like, if they're going to put you under and do things to your body, that you deserve to know, like, what holes are being put in your body.
So, Miranda, what's your cell phone number so people can call it and apologize and give you some answers?
That's really interesting. I would love to review your surgical operative report. You know, it could have been something caused by the splint or the cast. But frankly, it's a little distressing. I guess I would be really distressed if I was in this situation.
Miranda, I have a question. Is that kind of like the worst thing that's ever happened to you, like physically, is the ankle situation?
Yeah, definitely.
And you're so lucky. And what's like the worst time you've ever been sick?
I've ever been sick.
You did.
I mean, she was sick with like psychological distress because of, you know, wondering how this hole happened, right?
I'm trying to think about, like, you didn't get COVID, have you?
No. Oh, I did have COVID.
You
yes.
did?
I did. I tested positive for 75 days.
Oh my God.
Which is completely crazy. But luckily, you know, you're supposed to call everybody if you get COVID that you were around the 2 weeks prior. And nobody I knew ever ended up getting it but me. So I'm not sure how I got it.
Did you get it bad?
It was bad for the first 4 or 5 days. So not really, because it didn't last very long. Like I was achy and I felt like I had the flu. But then as the days went on, it was just that I lost my taste and smell. And my smell hasn't fully 100% gone back to normal, but my taste totally has.
We live in Los Angeles. It's totally fine if the smell never comes back.
I know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, so we're ready to play a game.
Okay.
So, Miranda, this is called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. And the way it works is you're each going to get 3 questions. And if you don't get it right, I'm going to give some possible points for creativity. Sean's going to go up first with the first 3 questions. Sean, are you ready?
Wait. Okay, now I am.
Okay. First question for Sean. Overconsumption of which common household spice can lead to liver damage, hallucinations, and even psychosis?
Cinnamon.
That is incorrect. The answer is nutmeg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nutmeg is actually really freaking dangerous if consumed in large
quantities. Are you serious? Yeah. Really? That's so crazy.
No, it's wild and it's totally available.
Well, a mission accomplished because I'm not a nutmeg fanatic.
I don't do an overdose on nutmeg, Sean. Like, call me before you go down that road.
What about Nutella? Does Nutella cause any? Okay, just nutmeg. All right.
Question 2 for Sean.
Yes.
What was Tina Turner's song that made it to number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 and won a Grammy Award?
What's love got to do? It's got to do with it.
Okay.
Is that
correct?
Right?
Yes, that is correct. Question 3 for Sean. What is the name of Annie's dog in the musical Annie?
Sandy.
That is correct.
Yes.
Okay, 2 points for Sean. All right, Miranda, you are up next. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. An ear, nose, and throat specialist is also known as what in the medical field?
Oh, no.
Invasive.
This is a head doctor. This is so wrong.
Is that your final
Not
answer?
Not at all. I know it's very wrong.
Wait, I don't... An ear, nose, and throat specialist An ENT. That's ear, nose,
I would have accepted ENT.
ENT?
The formal name is otorhinolaryngologist. Okay?
Oh, come on.
Did not
Odo
know that.
For ear, rhino for nose, laryngo for throat. Right. Otorhinolaryngologist.
Two people in the world know that. You and one other.
All right. Second question for Miranda. Who sings the hit song, Girls Just Wanna Have Fun?
Cyndi Lauper.
Okay, that is correct. So all right. Question three. On season three, the TV show iCarly, you may be familiar, how does the character Freddie save the life of your character, Carly?
He pushes me out of the way and gets hit by a taco truck.
That is 100%
correct.
How
do you know that? Wait a minute. Wait, stop. So listen to me, Miranda. She asked me questions about Will and Grace. I don't remember anything. And you just like pulled that out of your ass
because
so
Miranda's
fast.
Because Miranda's freaking smart. That's the truth. Okay,
head
so
doctor.
We have 2 points, Miranda, 2 points, Sean. So this is a tie. So now we're going to do tiebreaker round. So the way this round works is the first person to answer correctly or close enough wins.
Okay.
Are both of you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What Rolling Stones song was the first to top the U.S. charts?
My mom's going to be so disappointed. She loves the Rolling Stones.
I mean,
so
the
much.
First one I think of is Satisfaction.
That is correct.
Oh!
Satisfaction is the answer.
Good one.
Sean, congratulations.
How about that?
Miranda.
I very rarely win.
This is like very rare. So
that
congratulations,
was very good.
Sean. You're the winner of this round.
Thanks,
Miranda.
I'm gonna have a beer.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your mystery story. And
thank you for listening.
Fascinating. Miranda, thank you. It's so good to see you, sweetie. And I hope I get to see you soon. And good luck to the reboot of iCarly and everything else you have going on. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thanks so much. It was great to see you and nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Take care. Have a good day.
Ciao.
Bye.
She's great.
What a sweetheart.
Oh my God. She's so
sweet. What a sweetheart. I'm so sorry that she went through that. You know, it was just, I wish someone could have brainstormed it better for her, you know, like,
you know me, I would have been like, I'm not leaving this hospital.
Somebody tells me what this goddamn hole is about. Yeah, I would have been the same way. Honestly, I think we in the medical system owe it to our patients to let them know everything that's going on with their body, especially if the system is the one doing it. Right.
So, yeah. But here's what's great about her too. Aside from the medical thing is, you know, a lot of times children stars who grow into adult stars, you know, have a lot of issues to deal with because they get so much so fast.
Mm-hmm,
it's too famous too fast. It's too much money too fast. It's too whatever, too much in the, and she is so incredibly intelligent, poised, classy, smart. She's got all of her stuff together. She's just a great, great person. I just love her. She's great.
Totally.
Guys, everybody, thanks for listening. Don't worry. Be healthy. See you next time.
Bye.
Hypochondria Actor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Leo Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.